Here are just some introductory remarks on mercantilism. Mercantilism is a little difficult to cover as an analytic topic because it's not quite an economic theory, and when you read a lot of the mercantilists, they don't always make sense, and there's not always some way you can nudge or push all of it into a contemporary framework. You can think of a lot of it as practical maxims for statesmen rather than being economics per se. It's important to realize that mercantilism was set in a world where there were growing trade relations. All of a sudden, international trade and international finance were major issues. There was growing state power. Countries wanted to compete more on the world stage, and mercantilism was originally a set of recipes that would help them do so, with some economic points thrown into that mix. Here are some key points which are common across mercantilist writings, though I'm not sure there's any one writer who has exactly all of these in the way I'm presenting. But in any case, you can think of mercantilism as having a lot to do with state building, making a state more powerful and raising more revenue. Mercantilist writers, they generally favor a large and growing population. That was also to make the nation stronger. There's a big emphasis on having a favorable balance of trade in mercantilism. Often, if anything, this would be called one of the defining characteristics of mercantilism. That is, you wanted an influx of precious metals into your country rather than having the metals flow out. Very often, it's not really exactly explained why you want this, but again, it recurs time and again in mercantilist writings. There's a general favoring of low interest rates, with real and nominal typically not being distinguished. The idea that a country should manipulate its economic relations with its colonies toward its advantage. And in general, international economic relations are viewed implicitly as either zero-sum or negative-sum. So you can think of mercantilism as a cluster concept where most mercantilist writers offer some bundle of these ideas listed here. Again, there's no perfectly mercantilist writer, but if I had to pick two typical people to read to get a flavor for mercantilism, I would suggest going to Thomas Mann and also Gerard de Malinis. And in general, mercantilism reached its peak popularity in 16th and 17th century England. It's important to note, mercantilism really was not just a British phenomenon. There was French mercantilism, German mercantilism, mercantilism in other forms. But these other approaches, they tended to have a bit more to do with statecraft directly, and they were less likely to have fed into the mainstream of analytic economic thought, as it was to later culminate in classical economics and Adam Smith. In this sense, analytically, I think it's British mercantilism that really is important. But keep in mind the mercantilisms of other countries or regions, they had their own distinct flavors, and don't oversimplify by thinking it's just all like the British. Still, some general notions of building up the state and worrying about international economic relations, you find these in the other mercantilisms as well. Why was there mercantilism, and why did it persist so long? Well, there are at least three major approaches to this. One of them, which can be found in Jacob Viner, suggests that we had mercantilism because of analytic errors. We had bad economics, and once economics got better, mercantilism turned into classical economics. Another approach to mercantilism from Akeland and Tollison is to view it as a form of rent-seeking. That is, the mercantilist writers were serving established interests and centers of political power, and they came up with doctrines to rationalize their patrons and supporters. Another approach to mercantilism, quite different, you find this in Keynes, in his general theory, and Keynes argued that mercantilism actually made partial sense. If you think of these economies as perhaps having some sticky prices or overly regulated prices and wages, and they might have aggregate demand shortfalls, well, then it might make sense to want this influx of precious metals and low interest rates and growing population, because that would boost aggregate demand. What's the truth? I actually think there's quite a bit to all of these three hypotheses, and mercantilism, as we find it in the real world, is some combination of those. The most important thing to mercantilism to me, apart from its historical relevance, is in terms of economic theory, over time mercantilism becomes increasingly analytical. 16th century mercantilism is usually just a bunch of statements. By the time you get to, say, the middle of the 17th century in British writings, you can see a lot of elements from classical economics in the mercantilist writers, and bit by bit, the foundations of classical economics are being built up. And finally, when you go to read Adam Smith, you find in Smith so many elements from the more sophisticated mercantilists. Not that Smith was a mercantilist, but you get a better understanding of just how much he drew from the best of the mercantilists and jettisoned some of the worse ideas. So mercantilism in this sense is really very important as some really fundamental origins of economic reasoning more generally, no matter what may be the mistakes or shortcomings of mercantilism more generally. Of course, there's really plenty you can read on mercantilism. It spans centuries and also countries. Obviously, Google the key terms and some of the references listed earlier. A lot of those are available online. If you'd like one general book as a kind of overview of economic thought before Adam Smith, I very much recommend the book by Terence Hutchison, Before Adam Smith. And finally, to get a sense of the institutional context and policy struggles behind mercantilism, the importance of mercantilism as state building, there's a very detailed work of history by John Brewer called The Sinews of Power. It's very long and detailed, but I think it's an excellent way to understand how mercantilism fit into this broader picture.